Praise the Lord. Shall we give it up to the choir again? Can we clap our hands and encourage the choir? Amen. And can we give a special round of applause to everyone that has participated in one capacity or the other so far? And while we are clapping, let's focus that clap on our children. They've done marvelously. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to thank God for the opportunity to stand, you know, before you and bring the Christmas message, as we'll put it. But before I go further, I just want to, you know, thank Pastor and Pastor Mrs. for the opportunity. And I also want to recognize the presence of my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law who came to support me today. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that you speak through me at this very moment, for I hide myself behind the cross. Father, I pray that, Lord, that everything that you have packaged for us today, we will receive the fullness of it. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, have your way. Have your way with me and have your way with each and everyone that is under the sound of my voice. So that, Lord, at the end of it all, I pray you impact our lives, even mine. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, the title of my message today, and I promise, I shouldn't use the word promise because as the Lord leads, I will follow. But I don't plan on keeping you all for long. The title of my message today is Definition of Christmas, Behold the Lamb of God. And before I go into the depth of my message, there's a poem that, by the grace of God, I composed in order to bring this message together. And I pray as you listen, may the Lord minister to your heart in Jesus' name. The title of this poem is Definition of Christmas. What's your definition of Christmas? Is this the time you choose to visit loved ones of time past? What makes your Christmas worth living? Is it merely a period of sharing, caring, and giving? Now, to the kids, just in case you've heard this, is this the time you remember to prepare milk and cookies as you stay awake, staring up high, waiting for a host of reindeers to bring Santa from the sky? Well, I hate to bring it to you, but that is a lie. That is a lie. Mm-mm-mm. What a lie. Now, to the youths to whom this may concern, is this a time you intentionally display affection and give mom and dad a hug, sing for joy because of your new games and toys? Showing off new outfits after fussing that the old ones don't fit, but just want to look sweet and neat. Now to the adults amongst us, is this a time you think of what to give? And see, the children have done a great job, and all the Bible reading has put everything in one good package, that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, and Jesus Christ is the reason for our living. And so, the focus of my message today is really for us to look at who is this Jesus Christ. I mean, we have so many notions of who Christ is. And I can assure you that a lot of times, most of that is very theoretical based on what we've read in the scripture. But I'm praying that by the end of this message, that we'll get to see Jesus beyond what we imagine him in from a theoretical standpoint. Amen. So, I'm not going to repeat anything that the children have said, and I see why the Lord took me in a different direction, because if I went through the cliche route of, you know, quoting most of this, like the Christmas story, Mary in the manger, it would be so cliche. But as the Lord led me, he had me to look at who his son is beyond what we ever imagine. Now, a few things that are highlighted. There's so many when it comes to who Jesus is. Who is this Christ that was born? According to Isaiah 9:6, one of our popular verses, it says that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We all know that scripture. Now, I just want to bring us a little, just go a little deeper. This Jesus Christ that was born, he was the one in the beginning with God, according to John 1, verse 2. That verse says that he was in the beginning with God. Now, he was the word that proceeded from the mouth of the Father, according to Genesis 1, verse 3. When the Father said, let there be light. Those words, let there be light, and there was light. It was the manifestation of the spoken words of the Father. And so that lets us know that even when I go to my next point, that it was the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, according to John 1, verse 14. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst men, and we beheld him. When I came across this verse, it made me realize that the words that we say, we shouldn't be surprised when it's coming to manifestation, because God made us in his likeness. And he showcased this by bringing us Jesus, because it was the same Jesus in the beginning when he said, let there be light, and there was light. He encapsulated his godly form into human form and brought his way to earth by way of Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. And I'm hoping and praying that by the end of this message, that we see Jesus from a different limelight. Amen. And so moving on, it was he who King David, according to Psalm 110 verse 1, when David said, I saw my Lord, say to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make the enemies thy footstool. Now, when I looked at the Amplified version, it showed that David saw the Lord the Father say to the Lord the Messiah, the Son, that sit at my right hand till I make the enemies thy footstool. And so if even David was privileged to see the Lord even before he came in flesh and blood, as flesh and blood. And so this is the Jesus Christ. Like I said, there are so many things that we can highlight on what makes Jesus very special. He was no ordinary man. And so just a few things when it comes to the names of Jesus Christ. Earlier, I had quoted Isaiah 9, verse 6. And there we saw the different names, which is very popular. He's the Counselor, he's the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I want to take us a little further. Now, he is the Almighty God. Even there, it says it. But if we look at Revelation 1, verse 8, not only is he the Almighty God, he's the Alpha and the Omega. So if you can turn, if you could help me get Revelation 1 verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, keep in mind that the one who was speaking these things was no one else but Jesus Christ. So he was no ordinary man. He is the author and finisher of our faith, as we even learned in our Sunday school today. According to Hebrews 12, verse 2, I believe that was fresh anointing, if I'm not mistaken, where it says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, moving on, he is the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 5. Isaiah 40, verse 5, it says, And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the glory of the Lord. If you're ever wondering if you've ever encountered the glory of the Lord, well, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, I have news for you. You have encountered the glory of the Lord. And so when we accept Jesus, we are accepting the glory of the Lord. And no wonder he said that we will do exploits. Amen. And lastly, which is not the least, he is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. When you look at John chapter 1, verse 29, these were the words of John the Baptist. He says that the next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, when you think about that word, behold, what does it mean to behold? Now, the English dictionary doesn't do justice to what that word behold is about. Because when I looked into the dictionary, it said like synonyms like observe, to understand, to discern. But if when you look at it from a very spiritual standpoint, to behold something is more than just observing. It's more than just trying to discern something. To behold, I mean, there's really not a word I could find to put that word to what it's worth. But to behold is having the Lord Jesus Christ before you constantly. To behold means that as long as your eyes is on him, you'll continue to walk on water. Amen. To behold the Lamb of God, this is no ordinary man. This is God that was encapsulated in human form and chose to die for you and I. Hallelujah. And so in conclusion, like I said, I'm trying to be a respecter of time. Jesus, though sinless, blameless, stainless, faultless, perfect to say the least, deliberately chose a lineage that was as far from perfect as imagination can reach. And that's one of the reading of the word today, Matthew chapter 1. Now, a lot of times I can't speak for you guys, but I can speak for myself. Growing up, I couldn't help but notice that when I was taught as a little child to a certain age, that anytime it came to the Christmas message, we always go straight to Matthew 1 verse 18. Because before that, Matthew 1, 18, from verse 1 to 17, kind of summarized the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And in my own opinion, I feel like that chapter 1 through 7, verse 1 through 17 is just as important. Because the truth is, when you look at the people, and this is really where I want us to keep our minds on. When you look at the people through whom Jesus chose to come through to this earth, there are people that were far from perfect. You look at someone like Abraham. Abraham, the father of faith, we know. But it was the same Abraham that tried to help God in fulfilling God's promise to him and had his maidservant, Hagar. Now, you move to his grandson, Jacob. It's Jacob who was known as a deceiver, yet God chose to bless him and change his name to Israel. Now, you look at his son, his third son to be precise, Judah, who happens to be the name of my own son. Now, Judah, if you look at who he had to sleep with, if I'll use that, who he had to be with in order to bring the next generation, Tamar. Tamar happened to be his own daughter-in-law. And in other words, he committed incest. But that's still that same lineage. Because when you look at that, I believe it is, let's quickly go to Matthew 1. And I If you could take me straight to verse 3. Thank you. And Judah begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. So I just want us to highlight that. So Judah was with Tamar and had those sons. And moving on, there are two people that I also want to highlight that were part of the genealogy of Jesus. And one of them is Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute by profession. Thank God that she found favor in the sight of God and was saved from the destruction of Jericho. The other person that I can't help but also recognize is Ruth. Ruth wasn't an Israelite. She was a Moabite. And this is really where that caught my attention, because I initially thought that Jesus Christ came for the Jews. And I think Paul even put it in the book of Romans that they were considered the natural grapes and the Gentiles the wild grapes. That as a result of the natural grapes rejecting Christ is where we, the wild grapes, came into the picture. But before I can even go in that route, when I think of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, I see that God had a plan all along. Because why would he have a Moabite to be part of the genealogy of his one and only begotten? And so, to really wrap this up, this is what I put down. So the reason for all of this that I've emphasized is simple. God made it crystal clear that everyone, and I mean everyone, has a shot at his love, no matter how lost you think you are or how lost you may feel. Nevertheless, bear in mind that as much as the Lord Jesus Christ loves you just as you are, he loves you even more, not to leave you there. His assignment is to wash you up and beautify you with the splendor of his glory. Amen? And so if you ever wonder what was the point of what we are doing today, why are we recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ? What's the big deal about this? Just keep in mind that we are messed up without him. As there's a saying that goes that life without Christ is crisis. And so his mission is to come to beautify our lives with the splendor of his glory. So as we know well that we like to receive gifts during this time of the year, how about we turn the tables around? What can we offer the Lord in exchange for this great gift that he has given unto us? Because we are not better than the unbelievers. The unbelievers, he has paid the price for them. They are only yet to obtain the paid price. It's for everyone. And so my recommendation is that you offer yourself. Don't hold yourself back. Is there something in your life that the Lord is really touching on that you should give up? Think about the love of God upon your life and let that exchange happen. Let the Lord take that off you so that you can have more of him. Amen? Give more of your heart. Give more of your time. And please, don't withhold your resources. In any shape or form that you can offer yourself to the Lord, don't hold back, because he knows what to do with your heart. He knows what he can do. He knows what to do with your life. And as we do this, your life will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Shall we rise? I'll need the help of the choir. How great is our God. Sing with me.
How great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
Can we sing it one more time?
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great.
That spirit, let's just thank the Lord for the word that has come forth, and let's just have a moment with the Lord. He's right by your heart. He's standing, according to Revelation 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking. If any man will open, I'll come in and eat with him, be with him, and he with me. The Lord is knocking on someone's heart. Harden not your heart. Let the Lord in, so that he can come to beautify your life forever. And he can set you on the straight and narrow path that will make you and I be with him forever. Let us ask the Lord that wherever in our lives that he needs to prune, that he have his way. Have your way, O Father. Have your way, O Father. Let these words resonate in my spirit. Let these words transform me to be more like you. Let this word make me decrease, so that you may increase, Lord. My Lord and my God, I will not go back the same way I came. In Jesus' mighty name. And so, Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, for the entrance of your word gives light. And it impacts understanding to the simple. So, Lord, I thank you for impacting our lives even this very afternoon. And I pray that, Lord, that as we leave this place, that these words will not evaporate from our hearts. And that these words will bear fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, may your transformation power be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray you continue to work on our hearts. Do not give us up to the will of our flesh or to the will of the enemy. But that, Lord, you continue to work in us. You be with us so that we will forever be with you when you call us home. So we thank you, Lord, for your love and for your endless mercy. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let's, the church, stretch forth our hands unto him and begin to bless him as the Spirit led you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will increase in the Lord. You will never fall. You will never falter. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it shall be well with you. In the name of Jesus, the grace to be intimate more with God, God will give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will never look back. God will uphold you to the end. In the end, in the name of Jesus, heaven is your goal. You will reach there. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord!